Okay, everybody. It is Cinco de Mayo, 5/5/2021. It is 8:43 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I'm calling to you from the North Shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the media capital of Canada, the lockdown capital of North America for sure. Can't tell you what's going on in the rest of the world as much because it's just too much to follow. But we do know that Canada is being smashed like a bug because we are the first post-nation state, the first state to join the United Nations rule of law, where we are not a country anymore. Our own crime sinister said we don't have an identity. We don't have anything in common. We're just citizens of the world, and therefore we should bow down to the United Nations and all the NGOs and think tanks that advise the United Nations and the technocrats that help make the laws for citizens of the world, because this is all just one big world. There's no borders. Anyone can come and go as they please into our country and lay claim to our land, especially if they are saying so under the UNDRIP, which basically is the designated something indigenous groups. And if they say they walked on your land in the past 1,000 years, then you better get off it. Now, I still think the Queen owns all our land. It is officially stated that she owns everything below 6 inches. So that just means we're leasing our land. This is just a leasehold. So if you buy a house with land, then you just simply are renting it from the Queen. That is a law that is under the Canada, I guess the British North American Act of 1867, which I think is still in effect, even though we had a Constitution Act of 1982 with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. But I still think, from what I understand, that Canada is still owned by the Queen. So ultimately, no matter what the UN drip says, I still think the black nobility, the Venetians that run the world, still own Canada and everything underneath where most of our homes are. So I do this show Sunday to Thursday, usually around 8:30 in the p.m. And basically what I do is sometimes I take calls, sometimes I just read my blog. I just want everyone to be aware of some of the research I do all day. I do it part-time as I'm going along my day trying to earn fiat currency to support a family. Yes, an old-fashioned nuclear family that is still nuclear after all these years. And it's still the most important governmental organization in the world, the family. And that's what the COVIDian dictatorship is trying to take over and break all the horizontal bonds between family, between friends, between church, between organization, and make vertical bonds between the individual and the state, all for one big happy communist communitarian family where they distribute the wealth, they distribute everything in an equal fashion because we're all equal in every single way, and therefore we will be compensated and have access to resources in an equal way. Unless you're a member of the party, the ruling class, and then in that case, as George Orwell said in Animal Farm, some pigs are more equal than others. We should be streaming on at fakeologist.com/live. And I didn't punch out the show in the email because I was too busy. And looks like we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, Twitch, and we're on DLive. We're also on FakoTube. And apparently Twitter is not working. I don't know why I waste time trying to get that working, but I really want people to go to FakoTube.com. FakoTube is my video site. It's my video streaming platform. It's powerful. It works. It's got, looks like 73 people online right now. It's quite busy. If I go to my stats page, I think my view count is public. I can't remember. It should be on the screen somewhere. Maybe it isn't showing up. I should put it up there somewhere. But I believe I've got about 750,000 views of all the videos. Now, the view counts of each video should show up. And looks like the most popular video, let me just refresh the page here, is the most popular video is the SPARS pandemic of 2025 to 2028, another simulation sponsored by the Johns Hopkins School of Public Illness. And 10 people are watching that right now. 73,000 views. That's pretty amazing, actually. That was put up 4 months ago. It's still the most popular video here, but I also get... I'm also looking here. I post most of the Dollar Vigilante's video. He is fantastic. Jeff does such a great job of getting the hottest Twitter videos, everything onto his broadcast. He does it almost every single day. He always throws in his cryptocurrency stuff. Highly recommended. Highly recommended. I'm not sure I'm going to take calls tonight, so don't bother calling in right now. And I say I won't. Do I have the numbers posted? I probably do. Let's see here. Do I have the numbers posted? Yeah, I actually posted the numbers. I'm going to put my tip jar up now. If you want to give me a super chat, I only got one. I'm not really hot on super chats right now, but you can go to streamlabs.com/I'm a fakeologist/tip or fakeologist.com/donate. And we accept all currencies, PayPal, Monero, and BitChute. And I want to thank Anonymous, who has sponsored FakeoTube for another year with a very generous $11.91.19 donation. So thank you very much, Anonymous. Oh, it looks like my Twitter, it looks like Periscope is now working. So anyone who's watching me live, there you go. It just popped up. Maybe it doesn't pop up if no one's viewing it. I have no idea. I just complained to Restreamio. Maybe they started something up. Let us go to fakeologist.com. Oh, first I've got this fake mask USA up because we are under lockdown, and it looks like you're going to have to wear something to get in the stores, as this guy says. Actually, here's a billboard. I think he said he ran in Columbus, Ohio, where they're based. Won't do what you tell me, fakemaskusa.com. That's kind of funny. Good publicity. And he has another little quote on his site. There's the fake mask there. That's funny. Let's see. What is his message here? Oh, he's got Bernie wearing the fake mask. He had a funny message. Oh, yeah, here it is. The fake face mask is one of the most breathable, comfortable face covering on the market, rivaled only by its offensively fake face mask counterpart. Both are 100% compliant with the tyrannical mask mandates issued by our respective state dictators. Yeah, that's funny. So I ordered one of those. I ordered a bunch of those. Let's see if they come on time. Okay, let's go to fakeologist.com/blog. Let's load her up. Okie dokie. One of the great things about the internet being so censored now is there's a lot of the mainstream media being on the take. In Canada, our government, to help out the mainstream media, which is so irrelevant and could not make a go of it anymore because they still relied on the old advertising model, the same old subscription model that doesn't work anymore. They got bailed out by our government. So every single almost every single private major enterprise is funded by our federal government, which borrowed money that they didn't have, fiat currency, to pay all these people. So obviously, just the simple human law of reciprocity, if you pay for something, you're going to get a service. You're not going to put anything contrary to the government official line, which makes the mainstream media completely irrelevant to thinking people. How can you, unless you like to pay for propaganda, how can you listen to anything they say? Because they have to say the party line. It's, even if they have a contrary thought, they're not going to publish it, because it would, just like in the past with their advertiser model, they can't say anything negative about their advertiser. So here we go, and we go looking for other media. And this one is divergemedia.ca. These guys are from west of Toronto. They don't have much of a following, but they do fantastic work, even though they're two guys with probably no resources. So we'll just click on here. And this is where we have this science table. Every jurisdiction has some kind of COVID-19 science table made up of the leading scam doctors. They're called epidemiologists. They base all their phony science on the myth of contagion. And if you want to read that book, Contagious Myth, all you do is go to your browser, type fig11.com/CM. That will bring up the Contagious Myth by Thomas Cowan, who does a lot of broadcasts. I suggest looking him up anywhere. BitChute, Thomas Cowan. Even though he won't use a microphone, he's hard to hear, but he's got some good stuff. And this book came out last year. And here you go. Not that big of a book. Since the dawn of the human race, medicine men and physicians have wondered about the cause of disease, especially what we call contagions. Numerous people become ill with similar symptoms all at the same time. Does humankind suffer these outbreaks at the hands of an angry god or evil spirit? A disturbance in the atmosphere? A miasma? Do we catch the illness from others or from some outside influence? With the invention of the microscope in 1670 and the discovery of bacteria, doctors had a new candidate to blame, a tiny one-celled organisms that humans could pass from one to another through contact and exhalation. But the germ theory of disease did not take hold until 200 years later with the celebrity scientist Louis Pasteur, and soon became the explanation for most illness. Recognition of nutritional deficiencies as a cause of diseases like scurvy, pellagra, beriberi took decades because the germ theory became the explanation for everything that ails the human being. As Robert R. Williams, one of the discoverers of thiamine, vitamin B1, lamented, all young physicians were so imbued with the idea of infection as the cause of disease that it presently came to be accepted as almost axiomatic. Oops, better look that one up. Let's look up that. Axiomatic. An axiom is a principle widely accepted on the basis of its intrinsic merit, or one regarded as self-evidently true. Okay, makes sense. That disease could have no other cause other than microbes. The preoccupation of physicians with infection as a cause of disease was doubtless responsible for many digressions from attention to food as the causal factor of beriberi. During the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, the deadliest example of a contagion in recent history, doctors struggled to explain the worldwide reach of the illness. It sickened an estimated 500 million people, about one-third of the planet's population, and killed nearly 20 or 50 million people. Now, of course, we question official stories here at Fakeology, including in 1918, so I'm not going to take that one at face value. It seemed to appear spontaneously in different parts of the world, striking the young and healthy, including many American servicemen. Some communities shut down schools, businesses, and theaters. People were ordered to wear masks and refrain from shaking hands to stop the contagion. Sound familiar? But was it contagious? Health officials in those days believed that the cause of the Spanish flu was a microorganism called Pfeiffer's bacillus. And they were interested in the question of how the organism could spread so quickly. To answer that question, doctors from the U.S. Public Health Service tried to infect 100 healthy volunteers between the ages of 18 and 25 by collecting mucus secretions from the noses, throats, and upper respiratory tracts of those who were sick. Have we done any of those tests today? No, we haven't. They transferred these secretions to the noses, mouths, and lungs of volunteers, but not one of them succumbed. Blood of sick donors was injected into the blood of the volunteers, but they remained stubbornly healthy. Finally, they instructed those afflicted to breathe and cough over the healthy volunteers. But the results were the same. The Spanish flu was not contagious, and physicians could attach no blame to the accused bacterium. Pasteur believed that the healthy human body was sterile and became sick only when invaded by bacteria, a view that dominated the practice of medicine for over a century. In recent years, we have witnessed a complete reversal of the reigning medical paradigm that bacteria attack us and make us sick. We have learned that the digestive tract of a healthy person contains up to 6 pounds of bacteria, which play many beneficial roles. They protect us against toxins, support the immune system, help digest our food, create vitamins, and even produce feel-good chemicals. Bacteria that coat the skin and line the vaginal tract play equally protective roles. These discoveries call into question many current medical practices, from antibiotics to hand washing. Indeed, researchers have become increasingly frustrated in their attempts to prove that bacteria make us sick, except as co-actors in extremely unnatural conditions. So they couldn't really prove that bacteria make us sick. So then enter viruses. Louis Pasteur did not find a bacterium that could cause rabies and speculated about a pathogen too small for detection by microscopes. Ooh, something you can't see. So that implies imagination. The first images of these tiny particles, about 1/1000th of the cell size of a cell, were obtained upon the invention of the electron microscope in 1931. It's another mystery machine that really is very fishy in its origin story and in its current use today, over almost 100 years later. These viruses, from the Latin word virus for toxin, were immediately assumed to be dangerous infectious agents. A virus is not a living organism that can reproduce on its own, but a collection of proteins and snippets of DNA or RNA enclosed in a membrane. And we dispute those two concepts as well. Since they are seen in and around living cells, researchers assumed, that's really scientific, isn't it? Assumed that viruses replicate only inside the living cells of an organism. The belief is that these ubiquitous viruses can infect all types of life forms, from animals and plants to microorganisms, including bacteria and archaea. Viruses can infect a bacteria. Very interesting. Let's see how much more. This is the... Okay, let me finish this off and maybe I'll make this the show tonight. It's not too much more. Difficult to separate and purify, viruses are a convenient scapegoat for diseases that don't fit the bacterial model. Colds, flu, and pneumonia, once considered exclusively bacterial diseases, are now often blamed on a virus. Is it possible that scientists will one day discover that these particles, like the once malign bacteria, play a beneficial role? Indeed, scientists have already done just that. But old ideas, especially ideas that promise profits from drugs and vaccines, the one bug, one drug mentality, die hard. Today, the premise that coronavirus is contagious and can cause disease has provided the justification for putting entire nations on lockdown, destroying the global economy, and throwing hundreds of thousands out of work. But is it contagious? Can one person give coronavirus to others and make them sick? Or is something else, some outside influence causing illness in the vulnerable? These questions are bound to make public health officials uncomfortable, even angry, because the whole thrust of modern medicine derives from the premise that microorganisms, transmittable microorganisms, cause disease. From antibiotics to vaccines, from face masks to social distancing, most people submit willingly to such measures in order to protect themselves and others. To question the underlying principle of contagion is to question the foundation of medical care. I am delighted to join my colleague Tom Cowan in creating this expose of the modern medical myth that microorganisms cause disease and that these diseases can be spread from one person to another through coughs, sneezes, kisses, and hugs. Like Tom, I am no stranger to controversial views. In my book, Nourishing Traditions, first published in 1996, I propose the heretical idea that cholesterol and saturated animal fats are not villains, but essential components of the diet necessary for normal growth, mental and physical well-being, and the prevention of disease. In Nourishing Traditions and in other writings, I presented the radical notion that pasteurization, collateral damage of the germ theory, destroys the goodness in milk, and that raw whole milk is both safe and therapeutic, especially important for growing children. It is the most obvious substitute for breast milk when mothers are having trouble nursing their babies, a proposition that makes health officials squirm. In subsequent publications, I have argued that dissenting view that it is a nutrient-dense diet and not the administration of vaccines that best protects our children from illness. Over the years, these views have found increasing support with both lay people and health professionals. Error has consequences. The result of the notion that our diet should be devoid of animal fats, that children should grow up on processed skim milk, that it's fine to vaccinate them dozens of times before the age of 5, has resulted in immense suffering in our children, an epidemic of chronic illness in adults, and a serious decline in the quality of our food supply. There are economic consequences as well, including the devastation of rural life as small farms, especially dairy farms, prohibited from selling their milk directly to customers, give in against the price pressures of big agriculture, corporate farming, and parents of children with chronic illness, estimated to be as high as 1 child in 6, and struggling with the costs to care for them. What are the possible consequences of the premise that microorganisms, especially viruses, cause disease? The coronavirus pandemic gives us many clues. Forced vaccinations, microchipping, prescribed social distancing, lockdown, mandatory masks, and negation of our right to assemble and practice our religion whenever an illness appears that can be media hyped into a public health emergency. Until we base our public policies on the truth, the situation will only get worse. The truth is that contagion is a myth. We need to look elsewhere for the causes of disease. Only when we do so will we create a world of freedom, prosperity, and good health. That was very good. So I suggest you read that, because if you understand the contagious myth, then you'll realize everything that happens today has nothing to do with health. It has everything to do with changing the economic model of the first world to a communist dictatorship. That's all that it's about. They're going to destroy small business, independent business, so you will have to follow corporate policy, which does not align with the constitutions of each individual country. And that policy will be the antithesis of individualism, independence, property ownership, and it will bring in a one-party dictatorship in every country, and communist on the bottom, crony capitalism on the top. It will also usher in the destruction of the nation state as we know it, and we'll go into the post-nation state world where we're all in different regions where we can't move about and travel, and everything will be strictly controlled, right down to which way leave your house in the morning to go wherever you're going, if you can get out at all. That's what it's about. It's a super slippery slope. because people are busy sliding down because they're not understanding what's going on. This is a huge worldwide dictatorship. It's a medical coup in every country. They're using the phony idea of contagion to create this medical emergency, which in most countries is enough to override their constitutions and to destroy every single thing that we've grown up with over the last 100 or 200 years, depending on what country you're in. And people like Max Egan, who is definitely deadly wrong on the New Zealand hoax, but that's fine. He's still doing okay work on Corona, I guess. Jeff from the Dollar Vigilante likes him enough to put him on his site. So I link to this story here. So he's on Library, which is still in going through growing pains right now. And let me just bring up the show here. So he's on Library.
Yves Rougeau, the diagnosis is not a good one.
Absolutely disgraceful, folks. Unconscionable what these people are doing. As I keep saying, programming the children the way they're doing. Of course, in the cartoons, in children's cartoons, sometimes we get a little bit of truth in the cartoons as well, and they kind of tell us what's going on.
Charter City is stunned by the sudden rollout of Rook Unlimited's most fantastic device ever. The Smart Mark. Throw your other devices away, because the Smart Mark is more than just a phone. It's part of you. Use it as cash. Book your travel. And even shoot video. Distribution points are all over the city.
So Max,
and don't let the lines discourage you. The Rook Unlimited Smart Mark is worth it.
I haven't watched the whole thing. I'm starting to watch it now. He's just talking about what's going on. This is definitely a war against the world, and no one knows what's going on. I totally agree with you on that, Max. And there's looks like there's even some comments on there. So if you want to find Max Egan, you can go to the dollarvigilante.tv, or you can go to Library, LBRY.tv. Not quite as smooth as YouTube, but it's not bad. The next post that I will point out to you is Dollar Vigilante.
A vaccine on its own will not end the pandemic. Surveillance will need to continue. People will still need to be tested, isolated, and cared for. Contacts will still need to be traced and quarantined. Communities...
Yeah, that's... I can't stand to even say that guy's name in charge of the WHO. But, yeah, basically they're just saying nothing is going to change even with the vaccination. I don't know why people are just so sure that this is going to be over. It's crazy. All right, here's a Guardian article that I posted today. And just crazy that Australians are super locked down as well. But here's the in-the-face stuff. Is this for us people that have been researching the numerology for the last 10 years? The fine is $66,600, 666. I mean... come on. It's just in your face that they're running the show. They're just flashing devil numbers in your face. It's ridiculous. Empty crematory in India. India is definitely going to be dismantled and destroyed as a nation as well. And part of the procedure to destroy is to remove any nationalist leaders that appear to be for the country. And Modi is such a prime minister, and they're using the COVID coup to get rid of him. And, of course, because there's supposed to be 1 billion people in India, the numbers just on their surface are very high. Even as a percentage, they're probably the same or less than the normal death rate. But here's someone who is going around New Delhi to the largest crematorium in Delhi, And he's saying it's business as usual. It's pretty much empty.
जो मीडिया कई दिनों से पेश कर रही है दिल्ली में कोरोना महामारी के रूप में फैल गया है लाशों के ढेर लगे हैं शमशान घाट भरे हुए हैं तो देख सकते हैं
ये well, they got tons of phones in India too and they can do their own reporting and feeding information to the world but clearly the narrative is it's just the same narrative that they're applying to India with bigger numbers bigger absolute numbers but low, the same percentage numbers. And nobody is being, there are no lineups at the crematoriums. There's no overflow. If anything, there's a lineup is because of the social distancing and the reduced capacity of every single business, including crematorium. So, yeah, there could be a lineup for that reason, I suppose, which they can use as plausible deniability. But no, there's no mass death other than the normal death that goes on in India. Now, every now and then, I post something that's not quite fecologist-related, because now we're in the Great Reset, and one thing that most people realize is Joe Biden, Bo Jiden, he is definitely put there to help usher in the idea that I don't think leaders will be elected from the people, of the people, in the future. So they put the super divisive, whether they liked him or not, Trump in last time, and he was to inflame the divisions and basically just be obnoxious, even though he appeared to be on the people's side. I think he made a mockery of electing someone of the people and making it untenable and disgraceful. So that, I think, was his purpose, because he made no change, and we all know he's on the same team. Hillary, as he went out to dinner right after or before he was selected, and he wasn't arresting Hillary, he was praising her. More proof that they're both on the same team. So then after, they made it really obvious that Trump should win. That was how they built the story up. And then they had this election selection process in the media, even though the media shouldn't be calling these things. They made it super dramatic that Trump was winning, 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 and then the middle of the night he lost. And everyone who woke up in the morning were surprised that he lost, and then this boob who they made, who was obviously well past his expiration date, they made it really clear that no one was coming out to his rallies. They made a big deal of that in the media. Now, they didn't have to publicize that at all. They didn't have to publicize the fact that he was in his basement, if it was a fact. But they made it seem like there's no way he was going to win. There was no visual evidence he had any charisma, any following. So they wanted to make a really clear contrast between one guy who was a populist, who was getting huge rallies, and another guy, he was old, over the hill, way past his prime, getting no one coming out, not even able to make proper sentences. And then he won. So that's another screw you to the people, saying this is the best you can do, and we're going to really make it obvious that he shouldn't win or did not win, yet he won. That's another validation that the election process doesn't work or can't be trusted. That's why I'm pretty sure that he is put in to be the last president that's ever elected of the people. And just I don't even know if he's acting. Some people think he's acting as a dementia patient. I think he really just is at that age where he can't form a sentence. I don't think he could be overacting a little bit, but just this mashup really shows how.
My grandpa's name, Ambrose Finnegan.
Totally incompetent.
At the kitchen table, I learned. My ears to say, Joey, nobody's better than you, but you're no better than anybody else. Maybe it's the Scranton in me. I got a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, worried about whether they can make next month's mortgage payment. Well, it is what it is because he is who he is. That's why it is what it is. He is who he is. You know, remember when he went on, he decided he was going to convince Bob Woodward What a smart guy he was. So he went on. Yeah, smart guy. I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure, isolate, and punish China. Folks, true international effort to pressure, isolate, and punish China. Donald Trump thinks health care. Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys. I gotta admit, this is all within our power. This is all within our power. But we're getting there, man. Hang on. To send every single...
That's the purpose of Joe Biden, I think. Today, my mother called me on the phone and she said that she wanted to know if I was getting my vaccination, even though I've told her many times that that's not happening. And she's plugged into the mainstream, so I wasn't quite sure where she came up with this, but now I know when I played this.
Here's an option. There was a USA Today essay that was published by a former prosecutor named Michael Stern. And I discussed this briefly on radio yesterday. He says, we've got to shun folks. We've got to shun people into getting vaccinated. The shunning suggestion is this. Businesses should make vaccination a requirement for employment. A COVID outbreak can shut down a business and be financially devastating. And failure to enforce basic health and safety measures is not fair to employees who have to work in offices, factories, and stores where close contact is required. Things should get personal, too. People should require friends to be vaccinated to attend the barbecues and birthday parties they host. Friends don't let friends spread COVID. Friends don't let friends spread COVID.
So there you go. That's where it came from. This is this week's propaganda. And this actually goes back to this original article that Greg Staley of DivergeMedia.ca was talking about, where they're using the science table, which has a behavioral science principles for enhancing adherence to public health measures. They have a whole panel on this table, which should be turned over, overturned, where they're trying to figure out how to manipulate the people to going along with this fantastic quaxine that's not a vaccine into getting them to submit, basically. So that is what's happening this week, and it's coordinated and timed throughout the world. Yes, it is a massive conspiracy. Yes, conspiracies do work. They do happen all the time. Two people are often conspiring on the most minor things. And this one is just so big that most people can't believe it. Next post, why the photo slop mockery? Okay, this went hot today. I was sort of late to the party because I do a lot of listening to audio. I don't do a ton of surfing, but when I do, this one went to the top of the pops where it's a ridiculously, obviously, completely obnoxious photo slop. I think a 5-year-old could have thrown this together, and maybe a 5-year-old did throw it together, where these are clearly poorly put together images, where they take the heads, the bodies, the torso, the legs, and just literally stitch them together with photo slop. So it's clearly completely out of perspective. And this is published on the Daily Mail. This is sort of how they get away with it. They put American stories in the British media and they put British stories in the American media. And there might be some legality where they do that. So they don't, I'm not sure exactly what the reason is, but the bottom line is they're trying to tell people there was something wrong with this picture, and they labeled it as perspective. So it's more misdirection around the idea that the media creates, video creates images, basically just with basically they just create stuff on the fly, and you can't trust any video anymore or picture. Not that we ever have a fakeologist, but the bottom line is they're trying to mock anyone that says, there's something wrong with this picture. Well, guess what? There's something wrong with all video that we've been shown in the last forever. But it's especially worse now with Biden, and they are dropping more false imagery all the time, and this is just to further gaslight us. And actually, quite a few people did reference this and did comment on this post. John LeBon had a video on this. I can play a little bit of that. Napoleon had some words on it. And Napoleon dropped lots of videos. Here's John LeBon's video. I'll just play a little bit of that. It's on his pay site, but I think he made it free.
And kneeling to the side of the other are the Bidens. You know, they've taken a happy snap. But the Bidens look two times the size of the Carters. Now, fair enough. Sometimes when people get older, they shrink a little bit, right? Fair enough. But not like this. This is a very bizarre photo. And I saw people commenting on this over the last couple of days. What caught my attention today, May the 5th, we'll talk about the 55 later, is that Sky News in Australia, which is one of the big news outlets, it's the 24/7 cable news. I know that in America you guys have lots of cable, 24/7 cable news. In Australia, at least when I last checked, they only had one, Sky News. Maybe there's more now, I don't think so. But Sky News has been the 24/7 news channel for a decade, 15 years, I don't even know how long. Sky News is a big...
Anyway, John LeBon talked about that as well.
And they released this...
I'll go back to the blog. I'll talk for about 10 more minutes before I'll pack it in tonight. I know I started late, but I just wanted to give you a preview, remind you of all my sub-blogs, moreab.fakeologist.com. Not a lot here on this site today. This is sort of my non-fakeologist stuff that I put here. Oh, another Joe Biden post. I usually put it on Fakeologist, but sometimes when it's just political, I put it on moreab.fakeologist.com. Savechat.fakeologist.com. These are more of my Twitter-like posts where I just put one-liners and videos. Here's Arthur talking.
First off, my thoughts and prayers are with you. With all the faithfuls, as we see the West is quickly moving from a post-Christian world into an anti-Christian one. So take me back to that day over the weekend when you see the health inspectors and the cops interrupting your Passover service. What was going through your mind?
I was absolutely shocked. This craziness started 30 months ago when the COVID hit and I started...
You just want to get my save chat, which is sort of my Twitter-like feed. You can punch your email in here and subscribe, and you'll get the post by email. This is the chat window for my FakoTube channel. Like I said, I'm sort of thinking of just switching to FakoTube, so if you want to watch the broadcast, you're going to have to come over here. But for now, I'm leaving it open. I'll just put a test message here. Doesn't seem like anyone comes over here. This is the fakemask.usa.com. That's the contagious myth that I was reading from. Okay. Going back to fakeologist.com. Actually, I'll go to fakotube.com. I didn't get all my videos up today, but quite a few good ones right now. IPS, and we are broadcasting, I believe, on darkmatter.radio. IPS does some great audios and videos, and he is going over the Chinese space program. And basically, it's all about the cult of the obelisk including India, that allegedly has a space program. And what they do is they take old religious symbols and they're dressing them up in the rocket ship space paradigm. So people tend to gravitate and believe the stories because they recognize them from their religious symbolism. And that's why, so basically it's sort of a religion for the new age, for the future, but it's all based on old symbolism where they dress up the rockets to look like their old religious stories. That's really, he does really good work talking about that. So I'll just start playing that a bit. And this is on FACO 2. And the site's usually pretty fast.
And north of New Zealand, which to clarify is this area. Is this a big deal?
So it's the new dunce cap in a way, but all of it's walking us towards something. So between the protective posture, the helmet that would be used to...
worshipped for thousands of years.
This is what I'm talking about here.
So what does a lingam actually represent? Think about this. We are planning to put a man on Mars in 2025.
Now, again, when we're looking at this in context, so the rocket is the obelisk. It represents the male god. The sky is the goddess or the lunar goddess. So you could look at the Apollo 11 as actually a fertility rite. And so the capsule, the rocket has the capsule with the astronauts in it. It represents... basically conceiving, or rather it's a conjugal.
So I highly recommend Tim Osmond's podcast, obviously. I've been pumping his stuff for at least a year or so now, and every now and then he does a really good video, and I'll grab it and put it on FakoTube. Obviously, he has his own channels. He doesn't really need it on FakoTube, but I tend to put the stuff that I know is... or I really enjoy, but it's really just to get you exposed to his stuff. When I put it on FakoTube, and then you can go find at his site, and he does have a Patreon where you're guaranteed to get notifications of wherever his stuff is. He's got so many websites. I couldn't even tell you one right now. So the best thing is go to his Patreon for $2 a month. You get access to all his stuff, and highly recommend it. He is very versatile with his ability to find websites and put his stuff on there. It does make it difficult to track him, though, but he also puts his audio on SoundCloud. So if you look him up on your favorite podcast player, Infinite Plane Radio, you should be able to find him just by searching for that. That is also on FakoTube. Another person that I think is fantastic is Kate Wand. She does great videos, and she's an essayist. One of the benefits of putting this on FakoTube is it pulls all the description automatically. And she's smart enough to have different ways to support her. PayPal, Bitcoin, buy me a coffee. And looks like she wrote this particular essay. Sometimes she grabs other people's essays and does videos to them. But she's fantastic. And she's talking about the Canadian COVID coup. But there is a COVID coup going on in every country.
Justin Trudeau infamously stated how he admired China's basic dictatorship for its ability to get things done.
The point I made was that despite all of our freedoms and our extraordinary system of government and democracy, we are up against countries that play by different rules that we would never accept, but that find themselves... able to address big issues quickly and completely.
Take a great leap forward in time, and the statement once mocked by his critics is no longer a laughing matter. In fact, criticizing, questioning, or challenging the government's official stance is now a liberty threatened by upcoming legislation to regulate online content, similar to other authoritarian countries. And authoritarian is what Canada's leadership has become.
A hammer to intimidate freedom of expression. That's how one former commissioner of the CRTC described Bill C-10. A supposedly harmless bill that would simply bring big tech giants...
Anyway, that's Kate Wan. She has a Substack, which is apparently another website where you can post like a blog. And highly suggest that you go there. She got two videos? No, just one video. She's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And highly recommend you watch her stuff. It's really, really good. She really gets it. I asked her on the show, but she didn't respond, which is sort of suspicious. But on the other hand, maybe she's just too busy making her own content, which is great. Kate Wand, everybody. Take a look at her stuff. All right, that's a bit of a taste. Yeah, that's the post. Space programs are cults of the obelisk. And there's the Kate Wand. I put the videos on the blog as well, so if you don't go to FakoTube and go to the blog, you'll see them usually. Sometimes I just put them straight on FakoTube because I have twice as many people go to FakoTube as the blog, which is why I created it. And as I said, I put links to the original source so you can go yourself if you like the content of that particular person, and usually you'll find their work on your own through the description. I want to highly recommend Kevin Annett. He was on our broadcast a few months ago, and he really does a great job explaining what's going on, the history of Canada. He is really, really great. Let me just play a bit of this, because this is where I got the idea that Canada, everything that's happening now is totally illegal.
Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. It's April 29th, 2021, and I have an update and message to you from yours truly, and also the National Council of the Republic of Canada.
He's the one that's trying to use common law to bring in the Republic of Canada. And it's obviously not working, mainly because people are too invested in the system, this system, the one that's biting them on the ass. But he really, really speaks super well. And let's see if I can advance forward to a part where he's talking about Canada and how it's set up.
Our professional, take away our kids, drag us into jail. But those are signs of weaknesses. Those acts of violence against us shows that their backs are to the wall. When they have to strike out in force, it means they're frightened. So that's the first thing to realize. We have the advantage over them once we take off that inner blindfold. But the second thing is that, as Wolf Dieter Zimmerman said regarding Nazis, and the whole system of Nazism in Germany, it's emerged from within us. It's not foreign. All of these measures are really blowback. We're reaping what we've sowed now as a culture. And the churches themselves, and this is one of the things I want to talk on for a few minutes, the churches themselves have been the spear point of that genocide. And let me just give a background. This is from something we hand out in all our republic assemblies. We're not part of Canada anymore. That's why we set up the republic. We're walking in partnership with Indigenous people who have their own sovereign basis of nationhood. But as non-Native people in Canada, we need a different jurisdiction just to abide by international and moral law. So we set up that republic. But what's interesting is when we hand this information out to people in the assemblies, they don't really seem to care that much. Well, that happened to Natives, but we're different. We're special. We still have all these internalized colonial and genocidal assumptions, and that kills us. It doesn't allow us to carry on. It causes us even to self-destruct in fear, as we've seen happen all over. But some basic facts you need to know why we need a republic in Canada. Did you know that half of Canada was illegally stolen in 1670 by the Hudson's Bay Company, under the fraudulent authority of a British monarchy that had been lawfully abolished in 1649 by Cromwell in the Parliament? Did you know that nearly 2 million original people were exterminated on Canada's west coast between 1778 and 1918? The average death rate in Native communities from deliberately introduced smallpox and TB was over 90%. and over 50% in Indian so-called residential schools. European settlers, another point. Did you know that our ancestors as European settlers in these devastated regions were classified as transient populations who didn't actually own their own land, but merely occupy it at the pleasure of the crown? This fictitious authority, which claims ownership and still does, claims to own all of Canada beneath 6 inches of soil. Similarly, all legal and political rights of Canadians are defined by the Confederation Act of 1867 as conditional privileges subject to crown authority and the decisions of the Queen's Privy Council.
That's what blew me away. I'm lucky that I found the exact position. That blew me away right there, what he just said.
Well, guess what, folks? That means what's happening today is perfectly legal under their system. The Privy Council brought in these COVID measures, just like they brought in the Indian Act, and they can take away your little gifts. And they consider rights as little privileges you have for a while that they can remove at any point when you're being bad to boys and girls. Did you know that more than 60,000 children as young as newborns were deliberately killed in schools run by the Catholic, Anglican, and United Churches between 1889 and 1996? See all the evidence, murderbydecree.com. It's all up there in another banned publication in Canada. That was 25 years of my own sweat, blood, and labor brought that book out, murderbydecree.com. Yet not one person's ever been charged for any of those 60,000 little children who were killed. But in violation of international law, the legal bill of those criminal churches has been paid entirely by you, the taxpayers of Canada. So you're every day.
So that is a worthwhile podcast as well. The Republic of Kanata. He does it once a week. He does it over the phone. Really well done and highly recommended. That is Here We Stand, actually, I think is what it's called. Here We Stand with Reverend Kevin Dionette. And it's he's a quirky character, but he's lost everything. I don't even know. I think he might even live out of his car at this point. I have no idea. All right, it's 9:40 in the p.m. We did about an hour of yapping and talking. I'm out of breath. I don't know how people can do more than an hour usually. And I give you a sample of fakeologist.com and fakeotube.com. We're on Telegram. We're on the Discord. The Discord is super lively. As a matter of fact, I'm competing with my own broadcast. We have right now an Ounce of Salt, Babette, Linda Curtis, Mike D, Resmut, Jeff, Richard, Rolo. They're on the other side. They're on Radio 2. If you go to fake11.com/radio2, you'll find them. You are listening to me on fake11.com/radio or stream one. So that is some absolutely great stuff. And all of this can be found if you go to the top of my page, fakeologist.com. There's all these drop-down menus here. And one of them is audio chat. You can click on, it's audio stream radio. That's what I meant to click. You click audio stream radio, and you can click on radio one. Let's see what that brings up. Okay, so radio one is this show. There's another link. If you just click on audio stream right here, that should bring up the main audio page right here. We've got archives for the main show. We got the radio archives, or the audio chat archives. Here's a little video I put together, how to use a Podcast Addict on your phone, on Android phone. We've got the RSS feed. If you ever want to just put it directly in, you can subscribe with iTunes. I know it's not called iTunes anymore. It's called something else, but the two shows should load if you click on these links. If you want all the shows, you can just click on all shows or audio chats, and it'll bring up another program that'll download everything to your device. And yeah, this is the main way to look at our archives. You click on here. It will bring up all the past shows. All the way back, we got over 300 Fakeologist shows, some with video, and goes all the way back to 2012. Got some master fake theater in there. And we have almost 900 audio chats. And some of them are 20 hours long. So if you click here, you can also see all the audio chats. There's just too many to count. Tons of audio. Some people show up more often than others, but it's just, we got tens of thousands of hours right now of audio. So it's been an amazing 9 years of material, some of it better than others. So, all right. Remember, I don't know if you're a listener unless you contact me at Ima@fakeologist.com, or if you hit me up on fakeologist.com/donate. It's Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2021. We should be able to come back tomorrow in and around 8:30, 9 o'clock. And until then, take care.